So does anybody know the musical Pippin? Anybody Pippin? It says in Pippin, rivers belong where they can ramble. Eagles belong where they can fly. I've got to be where my spirit can run free. Gotta find my corner of the sky. There's another one. Anyway, I thought of that because the lyrics to that are analogous to the Hasidic story that I was telling before. It's about somebody who's not sure where their place is. And so he says, gives examples of things that know exactly what their place is. There's a rivers are rivers, eagles are eagles. What about the human being? The human being sometimes doesn't feel in sync, doesn't know what it's supposed to be doing. And then it says, gotta find my corner of the sky. But the transformational process of meditation and practicing presence in general is not really to find your corner of the sky. It's to realize that you are the sky, actually. Meaning that, what is the sky? The sky is the space in which the earth is happening, everything's happening. In the same kind of way, everything in our experience is happening within the sky, the open space of awareness. And normally we feel ourselves to be and identify with this personality and this story of this person that we are. But that's there, that's very real, but we're also much more than that. And so that's what this process is all about. Is coming to realize that and then to kind of sink into that experience more and more so that it becomes part of you in your daily life. And the practical result of that is the dropping away of the stresses and anxieties that are a part of being an individual person, personality, moving through the world separate from stuff, while still doing that, without going off to some cave or isolation tank or something. So I just wanted to open with that and then to see if anybody had some questions or comments or anything, experiences to share, challenges, anything.
I'm finding for myself that the concept that I can experience is the concept of being a part of the whole, as opposed to being the whole. I can't somehow wrap my heart and my mind around this other thing that you're describing. So for me, the most straight, direct way to let go of my borders and my boundaries and my ego is to really feel a part of what is.
Nice. Yeah, they're not really contradictory. They're just sort of different angles. Being part of what is has to do with sense of me as an individual and realizing that that sense of me doesn't have to be separate from everything that's going on. You can open, you can relax and be open to the flow of life as it's unfolding, other beings that you're interacting with. We're part of one thing. We're a team in a way. We're all kind of in this reality together. And so I would say that well, first of all, just to step back for a minute, spiritual teachings always come in opposing pairs, in my experience. I've never heard of a spiritual teaching that doesn't have a contradictory spiritual teaching right next to it. So that's kind of funny. I mean, it's just a funny fact of spiritual teaching because
Can you give an example of what you just said? I don't have a clue what you just said.
Sure. I said, well, I'll say it again, then I'll try to give an example. I'll have to think of one. But spiritual teachings always come in pairs. I got a great example, actually, from the Talmud. Meaning that whenever you put a spiritual teaching into words, into a concept, you know, that you can understand with your mind, then there's another spiritual teaching that seems like the direct opposite of it, which is also true. And the point of which teaching you're going to be dealing with has to do with what's useful to you in the moment, not which is true, because they're both true depending on what angle you look at it from. So a great example from the Talmud, but I don't know where it is in the Talmud. I've just heard that it's in the Talmud. In my study of the Talmud, I never saw it. But anyway, so it's a teaching that says that you should have two pieces of paper in your two pockets. Right? You should have two pockets, and in each pocket there's a piece of paper. And on one piece of paper it says, I am nothing but dust and ashes. In other words, this is a humility teaching. Like, my body, I'm just a temporary thing. I was created out of the earth, and my body is going to go back to the earth, you know. So relax, right? The other teaching says the whole world was created for my sake, right? Not just that I'm important, but the whole world was literally created for my sake, because out of the billions and billions of years it took to get to this moment, you have come into being. You know, you've come into, the whole stage was set, you've come into being, and the whole purpose of existence is fulfilling itself through you. So if you're feeling like, I don't matter, my life doesn't matter, I'm not important, then you should take out this piece of paper that says, no, the whole world is created for you, you're very important, you should take this life as this precious gift in order to actualize it and do what you need to do with your life that's unique to you. And if you're thinking, if you're feeling arrogant and thinking that people are supposed to be catering to you and serving you and, you know, and so on, which can happen, right? That can sometimes happen. Then you're supposed to take out this other piece of paper. So they're like, not only the opposites, but they're extreme opposites. And so the idea is to take out the teaching that's going to work for you in the moment. So it's the same thing with this thing that we're talking about, which is it about me as an individual connected to everything and as part of the whole? Or is it about that I am actually, I would say it a little different from, I wouldn't say I am the whole. I mean, you can say that too, but just to be more specific, more clear about it, I am the consciousness within which everything that I'm experiencing is happening. So part of what's happening in my consciousness is my sense of me as an individual, but also part of what's happening in my consciousness is everything else that's going on, right? Different levels of me, my feelings, my thoughts, and then also the whole world around me that I'm aware of is actually happening within my consciousness. So that kind of, that's like a different angle to look at it from. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Am I part of everything? What is the I that's part of everything? I'm actually this space within which everything is happening. So that's a shift from the fundamental sense of self. It's a shift out of the sense of me as an individual. But it doesn't throw away the sense of me as an individual. It's just a shift. It's just a different way of looking at it, right? So from the point of view of sometimes from the point of view of dealing with your experience, for example, thoughts and feelings, that's mostly what's happening inside what we think of as inside, thoughts and feelings. If there's an experience of inner conflict, or like worry, for example, or anger or anxiety, any kind of resistance to what is, it can be, for some people, maybe not for you, it's okay if it's not, but sometimes it's helpful for people to say, oh, that feeling that I'm having is happening within my consciousness. And why is that feeling happening? It's happening because this thought is arising, And that thought is part of my consciousness. And once you and when you become aware that everything is happening in your consciousness, then you can just let it be. It doesn't have to be a problem. It comes, it goes, and that's okay. Right? Sometimes in real life, I would say, there's times when, for example, if you're in an argument with a person or something like that, or conflict with something outside of you, it can be more helpful not to go that direction, but to become aware of the fact that you're connected to the other person, kind of more like what you were saying. That might be a more useful teaching. So this is just, these aren't hard and fast rules at all, but it's just offerings. They're just offerings. They're just different things to become aware of that may or may not be helpful. And through the practice of meditation and presence, all these things just become more accessible because you're loosening up. Regardless of which angle you're thinking of it from, it's about relaxing. It's about loosening up. It's about allowing things to be as they are. If I'm connected to you, right? I'm not opposed to you. I'm connected to you. We're connected. Then I let you be as you are. Like I give you and everything permission to be as they are. And the amazing thing is, this is a wonderful thing I heard from a teacher named Adya Shanti, that's not his real name, of course, because he's an American white guy, but somehow he got the name Adya Shanti when he became a spiritual teacher. His name is Greg or something. Anyway, he's a teacher in California, and I heard a recording of something he said once that I thought was one of the most brilliant things. He said, if you want to have inner freedom, you want to really experience inner freedom, you have to give freedom to everything else as a gift. Meaning that inside, emotionally, you're permitting everything to be as it is, right? Even political things, even if you don't agree, there's something political happening that's bothering you. So you can still fight to change it, you can oppose it, you can be intellectually disagreement with it, but you still, on an emotional level, you acknowledge that this is the way it is, and you give it permission to exist. And when you give it permission to exist, then there's not an inner emotional resistance to things. You're allowing things to be as they are. And so then you have inner freedom, because what's the opposite of inner freedom? It's, I have some problem. I'm in conflict with the way things are in some kind of way. Is that helpful at all?
Yes, it is. When I think of the last thing you said, and I think of exquisite suffering that people experience, including the Holocaust, I can't bring myself to accepting. I know it is, or it was what it was. And there was a beingness to it, but I will not be able to reach that place that you just described.
So this is what I would suggest. First of all, that's totally okay. So this is what you do. You simply move out to the next level. You say, I cannot accept that happened. And I accept the fact that I cannot accept that. Right? You simply move to the level that you can accept, and that's your awareness, right? It's not that you have to change. You don't have to change your opinion or idea. You don't have to try to accept the Holocaust. That doesn't make any sense, right? But you simply be aware there's a thought, there's a feeling of non-acceptance of the Holocaust, and I accept that feeling and thought that's arising within me, right? So then this is, again, gets to the back to the thing about the spiritual teachings that come in opposites. Right? From a moral, ethical standpoint, from a standpoint of tzedek, of righteousness, of course you can't accept the Holocaust. And at the same time, there's a level of your being that doesn't have to try to accept things. It is acceptance. Right? That's your awareness is acceptance. It is openness. And you can, when a thought about the Holocaust or anything that's not acceptable arises, then it's referring to this thing happening out there, but it's also a thought within yourself, and you can be open to that thought, and you can accept that thought. And that way, you're not changing something, really. You're just becoming aware of that level of your being that is acceptance, right? Because these are these different levels of our being exist together. Yeah.
A far more simple example, and what I'm trying to do is accept and not let it bother me.
Yeah.
We were trying to sit here and meditate, and the clock was ticking.
Yes, I noticed that
and
too.
And I said to myself, okay, the clock's ticking, let it tick.
Mm-hmm.
But that, it bothered me more often than not. I mean,
right.
I'll accept the clock's ticking. Well, okay,
yeah.
I'm listening to the clock ticking. I mean,
right.
How do you accept so you get beyond being annoyed by it?
Right. So the idea is not to get beyond being annoyed by it. You might be annoyed by it, okay?
Okay.
But in other words, accept being annoyed by it, right? But then, you know, you might get up, like I considered when I heard it, because I didn't notice it until we became in silence. I considered going and getting it and bringing it to the other room.
Oh, I thought it was the same thing.
And, but I didn't, obviously, and you didn't either. So at that point, the task of the meditation is that you are becoming aware of your resting in the awareness of whatever's happening. So within your space of awareness, the clock is ticking. Within your space of awareness, there's a feeling that's perhaps unpleasant associated with hearing the ticking. If you do that, probably the feeling will go away quickly. If not this time, maybe, you know, after meditating, this is what happens, you know, things are bothersome and you either do something about it or you don't do something about it. Like, those are the only two options. Right? So if you do something about it, then you have to live with the fact that you got up and made a disruption.
What I noticed is the tire noise sometimes overpowered it. So
the what noise?
The car was going by.
Oh, yeah, right.
It got over it.
So. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's the same with everything. It reminds me of another teacher that I heard once, something he said that I liked very much. A guy named Eckhart Tolle. Anybody know Eckhart Tolle?
Yeah.
So
Oprah.
He was on Oprah, that he became very famous because of Oprah. He wrote a book called The Power of Now. And so it's all about presence. His whole teaching is all about presence too. Of course, non-denominational. He kind of connects it a little bit with Christianity because that's his background. But mostly it's not religious. And someone said, well, what if I grabbed you and forced you into a loud music club with people drinking and people pushing and blasting loud music, which is something that he would obviously hate because his personality is, he's just, right? It's not just that he's present, it's that he's also just a very introverted kind of calm person. He's obviously, he likes to be in nature and hear the birds. He doesn't want to be in a club with loud music. So he said, well, I would feel the irritation of all that, and then I would accept it and I'd be fine. But that doesn't mean that he would choose ever to go into a club like that. But what he's saying is really true. In other words, it's going to have an effect on you. You're going to feel annoyance and so on. But there's a level of your being that's beyond the annoyance, because the annoyance is a feeling. You don't have to struggle with the feeling. You can allow the feeling to be there. In fact, that's what presence is in day-to-day life. A million annoying things happen all day long, right? I mean, to me anyway, they do. I don't know. I don't know about you guys.
Walk around annoyed, yeah.
To me, it's like annoying things are happening all day long. And I find my mind wondering if one day that'll stop happening. But I know it really won't unless I stop actively living life, you know. But even then, you know, probably, as long as we're in the body and we're dealing with things that have to be done, like even feeding ourselves, like annoying things are going to happen all day long. So the practice of presence is that you actively practice being aware of the annoyances as they arise and knowing yourself as the presence within which they are arising, and hopefully also over time kind of living your life in a way that's more conducive to that, because there's also choices we can make that more difficult, right? Like if we're rushing, if we're doing too much and we're late for things, like that can that's a tendency I have. For example, I've been doing a lot, I'm rushing, I'm late for things, that's why I said that. It's not like you guys, it's me, right? So So I know that it's better, like I know that if I'm doing a lot of things, I'm trying to cram a lot of things in a day, I'm doing it, I'm intentionally making a sacrifice. I know it's going to make it more difficult to be present. But I'm choosing it because I'm going to try to get all these things done in the day. But I also know, I also often will choose no, I'm going to say no to those things so that there's a little more spaciousness, so that the presence can more naturally come forth and that it's not as difficult. But also through the, it's also important to know that through the practice of it, it becomes more and more accessible. So for example, just to give an analogy, let's say we're in a room together and like this, right? There's the door, right? You can, if you look out that door, you can see it's, you can see that some trees and some sunshine out there, right? So let's say that represents the feeling of presence, right? The sunshine and the trees and everything. And let's say inside represents in our minds and our feelings, like busy thoughts, feelings coming and so on in this little indoor space. Now, for some people, you're going to be able to open the door. For other people, you're going to be able to open the whole wall. For some people, you're going to be able to open the wall and one window over there. You know, in other words, people have different levels of access to that presence depending on your, you know, on your practice. It takes practice. So that's why, that's an argument for make sure you meditate every day, because the more you do it, the more you open those doors. And sometimes people have an experience of the doors completely opening all at once. And then it's like, that's, people call that a spiritual awakening. Oh my God, it all opened all at once. I can't believe it. It's like almost indescribable. And then for some people, it stays pretty open after that. And for some people, it closes up completely after that. And then they have to, over years, do the work of opening. So it's different for everyone. But what's not different is that it's good to practice every day. That's the same for everyone. So you just get more and more opening through the practice of it. Is that helpful? Hashem, if you do one more, does anybody else have anything?
Do one more.
Yeah, one more.
I'm like Captain Hook, I can't stand the sound of a ticking clock.
Uh-huh.
And yet, I didn't hear it. I'm now the closest to it.
Can you hear it now?
But I had to really
tune into it.
Tune into it, that's right.
Yeah.
So either my hearing is going bad, or...
No, I didn't hear it either. I think I was just very focused on what I was,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to do. So, I mean, I heard the outside of the door noises.
Yeah.
Slightly. I mean, it didn't bother me.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. So that just shows you, like, different states of consciousness that we're in at different times. And really, the idea is that any of the state that you find yourself in is okay. I don't know why I'm thinking of all these other teachers now. So there's a teaching by Trungpa Rinpoche, who was a Tibetan teacher who brought, Shambhala to this country, and the main Shambhala center is in Boulder, Colorado. Anyway, I read something that he wrote once, and he said, if you find yourself in hell, stay there as long as possible. Which is very counterintuitive, right? If you find yourself uncomfortable, you find yourself in white, get out of there, right?
Stay away from Shambhala.
But I think what he meant was, he didn't necessarily mean it literally, that you should torture yourself or make you, I don't think he meant that at all, knowing based on what I know about him. But what he meant was that you should as part of your life, as part of your practice, your life practice, you should practice being okay with discomfort. And you don't, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to make yourself uncomfortable, although in Judaism we do sometimes, right? Traditionally speaking, we have fast days, and that's exactly the purpose part of the purpose anyway, is that you make yourself physically uncomfortable and you're just being with it. And it's so much, I find it so much easier to do a fast day when I'm with other people that are doing it. If I'm trying to go around busy life in my fast, it's like, ugh. But if I'm with people that are praying, coming together for the read, the Eicha, whatever, then it's very, very powerful, because we're all in this practice together. So I think that's what I think he's saying, is that discomfort is happening in life. And of course we're saying don't resist it, be aware of it. We're not saying we're not saying torture yourself. But we're saying that sometimes allow for some torture. In other words, allow for those annoyances or discomforts or even negative feelings. Allow them to be there. Because in all that, you're practicing knowing yourself. Knowing yourself as beyond, as bigger than that. Right? Who is it that's aware of the ticking clock? Right? Awareness is aware of it. Right? So the awareness is transcendent of that. It's bigger than that. Who's aware of this hunger or of this sad feeling that comes? You know, whatever it is, melancholy. Oh, be aware of it intentionally. Allow it to be there. And it may stay for some time, but it will dissolve. And more you'll feel yourself to be that spaciousness as opposed to the particular feeling or experience that's coming in the moment. Well, Baruch Hashem, thank you so much for coming. If you like that chant, the Karov chant, that's in the video, if some of you are supporting already, so you got that video, so you can check it out. And the same teaching, that little Hasidic story, is also in there, along with some other stuff on the Parsha. This idea of Karov also comes up in the beginning of this week's Parsha, which is kind of nice. So you can check all that out online. And that's it. Have a wonderful week. I won't be here this Shabbos because I have to go back to the Bay Area. But this Saturday is, or Friday night is Tu B'Shvat, so we have a little Tu B'Shvat Shabbos. I hope you have taste some different fruits, and the fruits are also in Kabbalah representing these different levels of consciousness, your awareness, your thoughts, your feelings, the physical world, four levels, and so on. So you can make a little meditation with that too. And I look forward to seeing you next Tuesday, and hopefully next Shabbos too. All right, be well.
Thank you.
Yeah.